Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. 10 Thursday Dynasty trades coming at you. So the first, someone must have been a little intoxicated on the 4th of July. Deshaun Watson, Albert Akpabanam, and a 2022 third round pick for Jared Goff. One of the people in this trade could change your Dynasty team, and no one else can. Give me Watson. Rondale Moore, Juju Smith-Schuster, and a first next year for DK Metcalf. That one's interesting. And it's interesting from a what are you trying to accomplish perspective. Selling Metcalf, you're getting, I guess, a younger shot at Rondale Moore. You're getting Juju, who's probably a supremely discounted, lesser version of Metcalf, I guess. But you're getting a first. Metcalf's got the wide receiver one ability, got the wide receiver one type profile. The picks, I think ultimately it could be pretty interesting and pretty closer, maybe much different looking between Juju and Metcalf going forward. I just recorded a piece earlier with storylines for NFC, and I recorded it earlier this week. It released it earlier this week, and One of the things from it was just the difference in the production down the stretch for Seattle. Was the beginning of the season Seattle offense that we're going to get in 2021, or are we going to get the later version of it, which wasn't very good? That's a big time difference there. It'd be interesting that I don't think you could trade. What I think is a big part of this is I don't think that you could necessarily trade the picks that would be required to get Rondale Moore and Juju Smith-Schuster and add a first and get Metcalf. I think that's probably a stretch. So I think if you're looking at it from that perspective, I think Metcalf's probably the answer. If I were to sort of have to pick a side on this, I'd say give me the Smith-Schuster side, the first, and Rondale Moore. I got a little bit more to work with in terms of, hey, I can maybe transition some of these pieces into something I might like a little bit different. I'd probably take that side of it. I wouldn't necessarily feel great, and I don't oppose the other side for the upside sort of market value trajectory of DK. I'm just a little bit nervous about how that looks ultimately. So I think give me the Juju. I got more outs on the other side, which I think feels a little bit better. But I'm probably drawing to a higher outcome. If we use a Parker analogy, I'm probably drawing to a higher outcome with Metcalf. But I think I got more outs with Juju Smith-Schuster, Rondale Moore in the first. So that would sort of be my angle on it. Russell Wilson, DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen. So three really good players. For Jalen Hurts, Ryan Tannehill, J.K. Dobbins, and Julio. So I think the Tannehill-Julio stack there is interesting. You're basically going here from what I would consider three core guys to two core guys, one falling asset, and then you got Hurts in there. I think Tannehill and Dobbins are core guys. I think Swift's a higher outcome there, probably. I look at this and just say, let's for the sake of argument, let's knock Swift and Dobbins out as being roughly equal. We could sort of pick nits there. Keenan Allen and Julio, I'd much rather have Keenan Allen at this point than Julio, but let's just knock those out for a second. Just brass tacks this. It's Russell Wilson for Jalen Hurts and Ryan Tannehill. I think the answer there is Russell Wilson. And I think that the difference between – it's enough of a difference for me in terms of Swift over Dobbins and Allen over Julio that it makes it a pretty – it makes it pretty strongly in favor of the Wilson, Swift, and Keenan Allen part of the deal. So just when you're breaking deals down, I think this is a good example. When you're breaking deals down, sort of I use the just knock them out approach for a second and work backwards. And you could say, all right, these guys roughly equal, and then sort of break it down to where the decision might lie. And then you say, okay, let's evaluate that portion of it. So for here, it's the Wilson versus Hurts and Tannehill aspect of it. I can actually see the value in taking the Hurts and Tannehill side. If you were to say to me, hey, listen, I'm not sure Wilson's got this huge upside as a passer. I think we saw that in 2022, or we saw that in 2020. Maybe it's going to be that way in 2021 as well. You know, I could see that. And then you say, all right, well, I got Tannehill, who can maybe roughly, you know, approximate what Wilson does. You know, maybe 80-90% of that. And then I got an upside variant shot at Hurts. And hey, that's a lot more valuable than the difference between Swift and Dobbins or Keenan Allen and Julio. I just put Russell Wilson in a different sphere than that, but I could sort of see why you would take the other side of that. I understand that side of the deal if that's how you're coming at it. That's just not how I come at it from, but I think it's an interesting construct either way. But give me the – I just think enough of Swift and Allen over Dobbins and Julio, and I think that Russell Wilson's like a first-bout Hall of Famer. And I don't think the other guys are going to be that, and so that would be my angle on it. Ayuk and Julio for – Goff, Kmet, a 2022 first and a 2022 second. This one, I'll say, I'm surprised that you can draw anything near this for Ayuk and Julio. Like Julio, about the rough approximation of it might be like a second was, I think we saw one, I actually have one further down the list where he's a second, just a second straight up. So, if, you know, maybe he's worth a little bit more than that. But you're getting a first and a starting quarterback for Ayuk in that approximation. I mean, that's basically what you're looking at. Give me the Goff side. And it's a good way to figure out a quarterback fix, right? And if you're sort of in a situation where, like, hey, I need quarterback help. I can't really make a deal work. Like, Goff can fix this for me. Like, Kmet, we'll see. It's not tight end premium or anything like that, and this is where this trade was done. But I'll draw on a first, get second. Actually, this isn't a bad way to try and fix quarterback if you're trying to build a little bit. I think it's an interesting approach to doing it. And then you could ultimately say, hey, okay, is Ayuk going to be worth what he's worth right now going forward? Like, there's questions about that, right? There's questions about who the quarterback is, how the pecking order is. There's big questions there. And I think Debo is probably better than maybe we've given him credit for. I have some concerns about the ADOT stuff, but the yards per route run, it's pretty effective. Again, it's gadgety, so you're not really totally worried that he's going to threaten a wide receiver one in Ayuk, but I could sort of see, you know, some questions there arising and how big of an upside can he really get from, you know, from being a wide receiver one in an offense that's got a really good tight end and a really good and a really big question at quarterback. I could sort of see how that – give me the – I think I got a lot of outs on the other side there with Goff, Kmet, a first and a second. Heck, maybe at some point I can flip Kmet in a second for a first. That's totally possible. So that would sort of be my angle on him. DJ Moore and Laviska Shenault for T. Higgins and Noah Fant. No tight end premium here, which I think is notable. I do think – I think if you sort of look at this, I think you could look at it a couple of ways. The way I chose to look at it was DJ Moore versus Higgins. I think clearly rather have DJ Moore than T. Higgins just because DJ Moore not buried by a top five pick in the NFL draft. T. Higgins is. DJ Moore really high up there in terms of receiving yards to the first couple seasons. T. Higgins not quite all the way there yet. And then you take Shenault versus Fant. I think Shenault's actually one that's probably trading under what I would have appreciated. He's part of the argument of why I would say, like, hey, taking these developmental wide receivers, like, even if you sort of get an uptick, you might not necessarily get what you think. That's been a question that I've sort of kept coming back to with some of the value stuff I've seen on some of these guys this year. I think under this construct, I think Moore's the best player in the deal, and I would take him in a non-tight end premium and a start one tight end. Fant, like, can be very good. I'm not sure how he totally makes a huge difference. I think if you look at it the other way, which would be, you know, put Fant and Moore together and say, hey, this is Fant versus Moore, and then you knock the two guys out, Shenault versus Higgins, similar base rates, those sorts of things. I think that's a different way to look at it. And then you're sort of prioritizing, you know, what are you looking for in terms of positional strength and all that stuff. Listen, I think the best player in this deal is DJ Moore. And so I would take that side of the deal. And I think the other side, you know, it largely cancels out. But I think it's interesting. If this was tight end premium, it's a couple, you know, two PPR, something like that. I think it's probably a different conversation. But yeah, for this one, give me DJ Moore. I think he's the best player in the deal. I think you could probably replicate a lot of what you get out of Fant through other means. If he finishes his tight end 7, something like that, it's not really going to make that big of a deal. And then he's probably a falling value guy. Evans for Juju Smith-Schuster in 2022 seconds. I'd love if one of them was a first. I think ultimately, Juju Smith-Schuster is probably undervalued. I know that there's plenty of concerns with him. The fact that he didn't really draw a big-time offer in the open market is one of them, although there weren't a ton of guys getting that. I mean, we did see it at a Corey Davis, I guess. You could argue that he was probably overpaid. We did see it at Kenny Galladay. I think you probably argue he's overpaid too. What is Juju Smith-Schuster ultimately from an NFL perspective? Is he more than just a slot receiver? I sort of have that debate, and I understand all that. I'd probably take the Juju Smith-Schuster side of this just because I think you've got more outs. They're going relatively close in cost, so those seconds you're basically getting. I'm not saying it's free in terms of startup equity, but I think those aren't. Consider what the difference between Juju and Mike Evans might be, right? Those seconds probably can help you out in some way, shape, or form. I'd probably take the Juju Smith-Schuster side of this. I don't necessarily feel like I love either side of it, but I'd probably, because of the picks, probably take the Juju Smith-Schuster side. It is super flex, too, so they carry a little bit more value. Julio for a second. I mean, if you're contending, sure. Give me the Julio side. It's fine. If you're not contending, feels like you could get more if he plays in season. Like, this could be one. Do you need to do this deal now? Does this deal totally go away? And I think another aspect of this, if you are not contending, if you don't expect to contend in 2021, first thing I'd say is, are you writing yourself off too soon? But if you truly don't believe that, think of this. Is Julio Jones going to be a contributing player to your next playoff team or your next contending team? So if you're thinking, hey, it might be 2022 where I'm really contending, at that point you might say, all right, like maybe I can hold on to a Julio Jones and sort of get some contributions from him more than maybe the second. That would be a different way I'd frame it. In terms of, do I just need to absolutely bail on him? He's an all-timer. If he's healthy, he's probably going to outproduce the pick. So that would sort of be another context I'd have of it. It feels like a bail low to me. It feels like if he's healthy in season, you could probably get something more than this. That would just sort of be my hunch. I could be wrong on that, but that would sort of be my hunch on it. I'd probably hold Julio at the cost, even if I wasn't contending. At this point, I have to be very strongly not contending to feel that I'm not contending. So I have to really know that. Josh Jacobs for Deontay Johnson and Rashad Bateman. This is interesting to go from running back to two wide receivers. I think Deontay Johnson's one that I probably need to study in depth a little bit more in terms of some of his comps. Had a ton of targets. And underperformed with him. Is that related to Ben? That's totally possible. Actually, maybe probable. He had some of the drops. We'll sort of see with all that how that boils out. He could be one that I think maybe I need to come up a little bit higher on in terms of perception. Bateman is a big question. Listen, I might totally walk myself into a buzzsaw on this one, but man, the Jacobs profile is really good. And historically, like, it's undervalued. When you sort of look at these profiles, like, it's a darn good profile. And I don't think if the reason for him coming down in price is Kenyon Drake, that seems misplaced to me. It always has, and I'll probably repeat myself, and there'll be a lot of receipts if I'm wrong. It just doesn't seem like that's the reason for it. Give me Jacobs here. And I understand, like, I think Jacobs could be really, like, really rock solid for you. I'm not sure how I super lose this deal would sort of be the other side of this. I'm not sure, I guess if Bateman's AJ Brown and Deontay Johnson's Antonio Brown, then I could really lose this deal. I'm not sure that that's really how the die is going to be cast. So that would sort of be my play. Give me Jacobs in this. I understand the other side of it as well. I do understand the other side of it. You're getting multiple shots. I I get the other side of this deal. Kareem Hunt for Cooper Kupp, that's pretty fair in terms of market value and all that. Like, it's just position for position, need for need. I don't have a problem with taking that aside. I faced a similar situation to this. I ultimately didn't pick either one of them in a startup draft that I'm in right now. But you know, gave consideration to both guys in a draft range where I was there. All right, some two tight end special, which has been one of my favorite aspects of looking at each week. Gerald Everett for a second in 2022. That seems fair. I don't know, and this will probably be something that requires a little bit more study in terms of when we get more and more data on two tight end. I don't know if he's ever going to pull down a first. So the question I always have, if you can get a second for someone, are they ever going to pull down a first? And if the answer is no, or if the answer is it's going to take a really, really high-end outcome for him to return a first, take the second and see what you can do. Now, I think there's probably a scenario where he can pull down a first. I mean, he could be – I think he's a discount Jonnu Smith personally. I think he's a big-time discount Jonnu Smith. So I think he could be very productive or at least – as non-productive as Jonnu Smith has been at a significantly less cost. So that would sort of be where I come down on this. I think, you know, I think it probably is right value-wise. I think it'd be interesting to think about longer term what really pulls down a first in some of the lower end tight ends and two tight end premium formats. Baker and Zach Ertz for TJ Hockenson and a 2023 first. We found our smash of the week. Give me the Hawk in the first side. Give it to me quickly. Running down the most traded players here over the past 30 days. Laviska Shenault up 3.5%. Julio 3.4%. Those are the big two, and then there's a big, pretty significant drop. Zach Moss, Josh Jacobs, Mike Davis, Michael Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, Daryl Henderson, Chase Edmonds, Jerry Jeudy, Deebo Samuel, David Montgomery, Kenny Galladay, Robert Woods, and Ronald Jones all at or above 2.5% uptick there. So those guys are interesting ones to check in on. Some other guys to check in on, Ronald Jones in the last 14 days, he's up 1.4%, Julio 1.3%, Laviska Shenault, Rager, Deebo, David Montgomery, Mike Williams is a guy I've actually seen getting some pub recently. Juju Smith-Schuster, Kenny Galladay, Chase Edmonds, Tyler Boyd, Daryl Henderson, Brandon Ayuk, Michael Thomas, Jalen Hurts. Those guys are all at 1% uptick. And in the past 7 days, Mike Williams, again, I've seen some buzz on him in terms of, hey, he's a value. Someone notable in the fantasy community, I forget who it was, put it out. So we're seeing a little bit of reaction to that. Galladay, Ronald Jones, Chase Edmonds, Tyler Boyd, Julio, Deebo, Russell Wilson, Zach Ertz. So those are your trade volume guys, guys that are seeing an uptick in terms of cost and trade activity. So that'll pretty much do it for this episode, this Dynasty Trades. It's Thursday, 10 trades, 10 plus one this week. There's two tight end ones because they were that good. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.